As we prepare our hearts for Christmas, we always do some traditional things here at chapel, like lighting an Advent candle, an Advent wreath set up. We're trying to remind ourselves of the qualities that Jesus brings when he enters our humanity, our world, and we celebrate his birth. Last week, we talked about hope, and we've been doing it in a framework this year about names. So the names of Jesus, he has different names that he's called in Scripture. So last week was the name Emmanuel, God is with us, and he gives us hope. This week is the name, or the phrase, Prince of Peace. There's a lot of power in a name. A name associates character qualities and things that are important for us to remember. I did a little quiz for you last week about musicians. I gave you the first name, and you gave me the second name, and it was interesting. You guys got them all right. So we all love music. This week, I tried to talk about the power of a name in nighttime talk show hosts and presidents. Not totally sure why I paired them together, but when I grew up and as a young boy, I always used to beg my dad to stay up and watch Johnny, who? Johnny Carson, okay. Today, though, you could watch a guy named Jimmy Fallon. I like him better than Kimmel, so I skipped Kimmel, I don't know why. Stephen Colbert, okay, not so much a fan, but again, an interesting show. How about some presidents? My favorite president was Harry. Okay, you got that one. Dwight. Okay. Jimmy Carter. Barack. And last one is Franklin. Yeah, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, see, that's almost like, for you guys, it's like flexing a muscle. It's a reflex. You know these people, you know who they were, you know about their lives and those kinds of things, or at least a little bit. That's the same way I would like you to know Jesus, okay, with the names that he is called. I would like you to always remember him with the name Emmanuel, which means he's with us wherever we go and whatever we do. And then Prince of Peace, the ability to be in a relationship with God is a miracle that God loved us enough to send Jesus to make peace with the sinfulness in our lives on the cross and those kinds of things. And so we're talking about what the name of Prince of Peace means, and we're asking God to speak to us today so that we can remember these things when we talk about them with others, all right? So let me pray for us. Father, again, we're just grateful for this time. We're grateful for you making peace possible through your son, Jesus. Jesus, thanks for being that Prince of Peace, that inaugurator of a right relationship with God, but then also a restful sense of security and hope for our future, peace of mind, so to speak. We love you, Jesus, and we can't thank you enough for what you've done for us. And Holy Spirit, would you speak truth to us now? We want to know how to live and how to love others more effectively, and so show us that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. What does this mean? First, I'd like to mention that he is the source of a life of peace. He's the source. So Prince of Peace comes from the name Jesus, and without Jesus, there is no lasting peace. If you're familiar with Old Testament promises about the Messiah, promises about the coming Savior, especially in this Christmas Advent time, you might be familiar with Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9:6 is actually the only verse in the Bible that mentions this name, Prince of Peace. This was a prophetic word for the time period of history that it was in, but also pressing forward more towards the coming Messiah. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ, with his sinless life that he lived, he invaded humanity, he was born, he was raised, he lived a sinless life, he willingly gave his life on the cross to pay the penalty for a sin that we deserve to pay. He rose from the dead to prove that he is God and can give us forgiveness of sins. And this whole Isaiah 9 section kind of points to that if you're familiar with it. In verse 2, it talks about people are walking in darkness, but a great light has come, and this light will increase our joy, our hope, our peace, and that's referring to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We walked in darkness, but Jesus brings us into the light. We were enemies from God because of the sin that's in our lives. God can't have any sort of relationship with sin. We committed these sins that separate us from God, but Jesus died to take that sin away. And so we're at peace with God. We're no longer enemies with God. We're part of his life. We're called his children, And the thing that's very, very important to consider is without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. He's the source of everything. Psalm 29 says it this way. Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. We don't self-generate peace or happiness or hope. It comes from outside of ourselves through Jesus Christ. We have some New Testament ramifications of this idea of peace and where it comes from in Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter had been struggling with the idea of unclean foods and the relationship between Gentiles and Jewish people and what's holy and what's not. And he says this in verse 34 of Acts 10, then Peter began speaking, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. So again, Jesus is that source of peace. There is no favoritism as God looks at us. He loves us. He's died for us. We're all part of that sort of sinful family. We're all part of the family of Jesus Christ once we place our faith and trust in him. Without Jesus, we don't have a long-term shot at peace. One of the things I try to do periodically is just share with you some of the people that I talk with in the community. Hopefully you don't think I'm just talking about myself. I'm just trying to encourage you that you can be used of God to have conversations with folks and to talk about peace. There's an Egyptian man that I've gotten to know in the community, and it's interesting. He has kids like I do. His kids are around the same age, and he was really distraught because his kids were sort of messing up and not doing what he wanted them to do. And it turns out that this guy from Egypt is a Christian. I thought maybe he was a Muslim, but he's a Coptic Christian. And we tried to encourage one another. It's funny, you know, you can be from a totally different culture and still have issues with your kids and still struggle as a dad. It's like a universal principle. It doesn't matter where you're from in the world. We all struggle, you know, trying to raise our kids and keep them healthy and stuff. And so we were talking about it. And basically, his little girl just hasn't surrendered her life to Christ yet. He wants her to, but she hasn't. And so the root cause of all that she's struggling with is this lack of peace, this trying to find fulfillment on her own terms, living her life in her own ways, not the way God created her to have a relationship with him, but in that sort of rebellion. And so it was just nice to be able to talk about, okay, we know where peace comes from. Without Jesus, we don't have any hope. And so let's pray for this girl to find hope in Jesus Christ and begin to walk into more light than darkness. So he is the source of a life of peace for the whole world. He is also the foundation of a life of peace. So peace comes from outside of ourselves. Its source is Jesus Christ. You can even say Prince of Peace equals Jesus Christ in sort of an equation format if you want. But he also gives us and fills us with the Holy Spirit when we believe and trust in him, the ability to live at peace in this life. Luke chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist, who was born at the same time as Jesus Christ. And John was going to be the precursor, sort of the messenger to plow the ground so that people would know about the coming Savior. John's father had been through quite an experience. He couldn't speak. An angel had sort of locked his mouth to be able to not talk. As soon as John was born, he named him John. And then he gave this prophecy about John the Baptist. I'm in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace, into a way to live with a sense of security and peace of mind and rest. And so one of the things you got to understand is this word peace has real power as it's used in this scripture. From the Old Testament sense, it's the Hebrew word for shalom. And the Hebrew word for shalom is much more than just, hello, I hope you have a good day. It's very comprehensive. It's sort of like, I wish nothing but good for you. I wish that you would find complete happiness and harmony in the God and a relationship with him that created you. I wish you rest. I wish you assurance and self-awareness. I wish you prosperity, a life of safety and security. It's all these kinds of things summed up in this beautiful world. And so Jesus puts us on the path of shalom. He's that source, but also that foundation to be able to live life in that way. John was there to guide us the early Christian church to guide them in the path of peace. And Jesus guides us even today with this concept of shalom, no matter what's going on. And when Jesus grew up, it's hard to not talk about the whole life of Jesus. We talk about him being born in the Christmas season, which is crucial to who he is and what he did for us in a sinless life. But we also have to point a little bit towards some of the ways that he interacts with us later on as an adult. And John 14 is a great example of peace that comes through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 1 says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Don't get so stuck with anxiety and worry that you can't function in life, that you can't see your way past these kinds of things. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Peace isn't something that's randomly just found. It's given as you trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. He's the source, but we have to believe in him. Verse 2, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way that I'm going into the place, and you know where I'm going." So he's trying to reassure them that when you have troubles in life, it's going to be okay. One day that we'll be with Jesus Christ in heaven, he'll come back and get us. I love Thomas and Philip's remarks during this passage because they have doubts, they have questions, and Jesus doesn't punish them for their questions. In fact, if you have a really good question, it just shows that your brain's working. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. But they express their concerns to Jesus. Thomas said to him in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." One of the most important verses in the whole New Testament. Seriously, I am the way. There is no peace. There is no forgiveness. There is no relationship with the God that created the universe except through Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. Verse 7, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him." So basically, if you want to know what God the Father is like, look at his Son, the perfect reflection and representation of who God is. His name is Jesus. Philip sort of piled on with his question, "Lord, show us the Father so that that will be enough for us." Philip's like, "I don't really understand. Can you show us what the Father's like?" Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" Basically says, Jesus, if you got troubles in life, if you're worried about your future, if you've got anxieties and doubts and questions, all you need to do is look at me. My name is Jesus Christ. I'm also known as the Prince of Peace. Peace in the comprehensive sense that of prosperity and ease and safety and security and forgiveness and eternal life in my presence, a life of rest not filled with worries and anxieties. All you have to do is trust in me. Look at me. My name is Jesus. I lived a sinless life. I died on the cross. I rose from the dead to prove that I can forgive sins. I am God. I am God the Father. If you want to know what God's like, look at me. And I love how clear all that language is. God doesn't say, here's this way to know me, but it's kind of tricky. It's buried in philosophy and epic poetry of history and maybe the Hindu Vedas and those kinds of things. Just sort of just hope that you can find out. It's not vague. It's not emotional. It's not ethereal. It's clear. Prince of Peace is Jesus. How do you know God? It's through Jesus. How do you have forgiveness? It's through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I think he knew that we as human beings, like sheep, can be sort of dense sometimes and not always as smart as we should be. And he makes it crystal clear where that foundation of living that life of rest, no matter what, is coming from. That sense of joy, that sense of hope, it comes through Jesus Christ. And he provides that resource for us to live. I don't know if you experience some emotional times during Christmas or not. A lot of us have maybe lost loved ones. A lot of us have gone through sort of pain or separation, or maybe there's relationships that have ended in one form or fashion, and it brings out a sense of loneliness at Christmas. I mean, it's just sort of it's a mixed bag for a holiday. It's awesome for the hope and the peace that it brings, but it also brings some emotions. But I'm here to tell you that you can have peace through Jesus Christ in the midst of whatever's going on. I promise it. It's not just me saying it. It's God's word saying it. But just to give you a personal example, got a little bit of bad news this past week. My father, his name's Randy. He's 79 years old, going to be 80 this year. Was just diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is sort of a nasty little blood cancer kind of deal, similar to leukemia. And it kind of explains some of the health issues that he's had over the last two or three years. but it's in his bones, and it doesn't look very good. And so, obviously, you know, I'm talking to him. They live in Arkansas, so you can't just go over and say hello. So I'm on the phone talking to him, and what's weird is he's just sort of, it's gonna be okay. And I'm like, what do you mean, Dad? You know, this is really bad. It's gonna be fine. And the reason why he says it's gonna be fine is he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's not looking forward to maybe going through the treatment. I'm certainly, as his son, is not looking forward to seeing him suffer. But he's at peace because he knows Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, my dad and I aren't jumping around saying, yay, praise God for cancer. I mean, that's stupid. Everybody hates cancer. God doesn't say be thankful for everything. Be thankful for cancer. Be thankful for child abuse. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. God is good and there's evil in the world, and we're not thankful for evil. But my dad and I are thankful in the midst of going through cancer. So no matter what's happening, we can still find that sense of peace and that sense of joy and that sense of hope. And I'm just really grateful for my dad's example. It comes from my mom. My mom led my dad to faith in Christ. He wasn't a Christian when they got married. And then my mom led all of us kids to Christ. Through my life, my dad's grown. And at one point, he was an elder at a church, and they got into a nasty fight. My dad's the guy that taught me the phrase, some of the meanest people he'd ever met are church people, which is really awful, but it's true. And he walked away a little bit from the Lord from some of the conflict of that church. But the last 15 years of his life, he's led a small group. He's been teaching Bible studies. He's been growing in his relationship with God. And man, I'm glad that God has given him and given me and my sisters that foundation of, yeah, we love Dad. He's always been indestructible. It's hard to watch him like this, but it's going to be okay. So I'm just telling you that from my personal experience, and it's going to be okay for you too. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. He's not surprised by anything. And he can handle it with you, and he can help you be thankful and at rest and safe and secure in the midst of anything. Okay? So he's that foundation of peace. He also gives us a purpose for peace. I don't believe God does things by accident or by randomness. He always uses experiences, including bad ones in our lives, to sort of help us grow and get us pointed towards helping people. So he gives us a purpose for a life of peace. I'm in John chapter 16, just a couple chapters over from where we left off. John 16, verse 33, Jesus says these great words, I have told you all these things, that I'm going away, that I'll come back for you, you're going to have forgiveness in my name, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you, all these great blessings leading up to this point in Scripture. It says, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. Who's me? In Jesus. It's clear again. In Jesus, in me, you will have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. I wish I could change that. I wish I could have it say, in this world, you might have trouble. But we will have trouble. The world's broken. No one's immune from things washing up on you in a sinful, broken world. I mean, when Adam and Eve first experienced the reality of sin in the Garden of Eden, what did God say? He said, childbirth and labor will be hard, and your work will be frustrating and unproductive. I mean, it's just when we try to do our own thing and not follow God, we create a lack of peace and frustration everywhere we go, and it bleeds into all of us, into the world. It says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, be encouraged, for I have overcome the world. It doesn't say you have overcome the world, it says I have overcome the world. His name is Jesus, and he will help us overcome the world as well. And so in the midst of going through some of the harder things of life, I believe peace has a purpose to be passed on to others, to help others experience the same peace that we have. God didn't just give you forgiveness and peace for you to enjoy your life. He wants you to help other people experience these things. In Romans 14, we learn a little bit about sort of the purpose of peace. Romans 14, verse 19, Paul is teaching the Roman church, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So let us be the kind of people that love each other in such a powerful way that we are at peace with God, we are at peace with one another, we don't have rampant conflict, we forgive one another, those kinds of things. And then we get edified, we get built up, we grow in our understanding of who God is and how he wants us to live. Peace is often experienced in the context of relationships. Many times we want to try to find peace by ourselves and live in alone, and it's not how God made us. God's a relationship in and of his own identity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he's relational in us. He's created that need. Oftentimes, we can't find peace unless someone else comes alongside us and gives us that encouragement and expresses love and hope and building us up because of maybe something that they've been through that we're now going through, those kinds of things. And so I think one of the things that God wants to do with peace is help us build people up. He also wants us to just help others in general. Romans 15:13 is a verse that I've been praying through this year for you and for all that are associated with chapel. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So you can, like a fountain or a coffee cup that's in the sink and it's overflowing when you're trying to clean it out. It just runs over the sides. May you be that kind of overflowing presence so that you can help others. You can come alongside them and help them to be thankful when they don't feel it. Help them to trust in God even though they're going through something very, very confusing and difficult. And just for this is a little bit of a tangent here, but just for me in my work where I try to shepherd and help people, I wanted to give you some things to not do as you're trying to pass on peace, okay? So we often talk about a list of to-dos. I'm going to give you some to-don'ts, okay? So here's a to-don't when you're trying to pass on peace and love to others. Don't talk too much. Wow, that's profound, isn't it? I know so many people, though, that they don't like silence. They get nervous, and all they do is they just talk. They don't even take a breath so you can get in there and maybe say something, and it's just talk, 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 talk. So I'm just encouraging you to listen and to let people process their emotions and keep your mouth shut. And then at the appropriate time, pray, maybe say a few things, but just don't talk all the time. People are suffering and struggling, and they don't need a lecture. My kids always used to tell me, "Dad, you know, we don't need a biblical lesson for everything that we do." And I beg to differ. I think you do. But anyway, you don't always need a lecture. There's an appropriate time for a lecture. There's an appropriate time for being quiet and listening. So don't talk too much. Second thing is, don't make it about yourself. This is really, really easy to do. We have this built-in desire to make everything about ourselves. It's part of our broken nature. So in other words, I go to a hospital. This happens to me quite a bit. I see someone suffering, and immediately I think, gosh, I hope that doesn't happen to my mom. Or I hope that doesn't happen to me. And I start saying things or doing things to make myself better and feel better. And I forget that the whole context of why I'm there is for that person, not for myself. Okay? Don't make it about yourself. Don't start telling your own cancer stories. You know, when I had cancer, when Julie went through cancer, it was sort of like, oh, I'm sorry, but let me tell you about what happened to me. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There's time when that's really, really important because you don't want to go through these things alone. But when you're especially passing on the early stages of peace, your stories, this really isn't about you. You're supposed to let them talk and let them say what they're going through so you know how to encourage them and help. So don't make it about yourself. And then lastly, I would just throw out the encouragement not to use religious cliches when someone's hurting. What's a cliche? It's a common phrase of saying something that's so common it's sort of taken for granted, you know. So a cliche could be, God will never give you anything more than you can handle. Why is that a cliche? Well, in the context of that promise, it has to do with sinful behavior and temptation and stuff like that. That's not a comprehensive statement that God's not going to give you any more than you can handle. In fact, I think God is all about, in his love, giving us more than we can handle. Why? Peace isn't achieved by self-effort or by your own hard work or by going to church a lot. Peace is achieved by being broken and dependent and surrendered upon God. How does God get us to break and surrender? We come up against something that we can't fix. Right? So how do I find peace about my dad, for example? Well, I could pray a lot. I will. I could read my Bible a lot. I will. I can go see him and help with his care. I will. But ultimately, guess what? I can't fix what's wrong in his life. So at the end of the day, peace is only going to come when I surrender my dad to Jesus and say, hey, you love him more than I do. Would you help him? Because I don't know how to deal with this. Surrender and brokenness. So don't use those cliches. God won't give you more than you handle. People say God knows what he's doing and he's going to use this for your good. And that may be true, but that doesn't always help either. Right now, it just really stinks. I'm feeling bad. And yeah, God's good, but man, this feels awful. Be sensitive to how people are going through these emotions and be sensitive by how you help others. All right? So here's a couple of application things, a few things you might want to consider with this name, Prince of Peace. I just would ask you, have you trusted in the Prince of Peace for your forgiveness of sins? Have you really come to an end of yourself where you say, I'm sinful, I can't fix myself, I've done everything that I can, and I'm miserable. God, I want to do it your way. You sent Jesus to die and pay the penalty of sin for me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your death and resurrection. If you've never made that decision, I'm asking you to give your life to the Prince of Peace today, okay? I can't do this for you. This is not a parental decision. No one can do this for you. It's an individual choice that each of us have to make, all right? So I'd ask you to consider where you're at spiritually and have you trusted in the Prince of Peace. I would also just ask you a personal question. Are you experiencing peace? With that shalom word, that comprehensive nature of peace, at rest and security and welfare and prosperity, like are you living with depending upon God and his Spirit, are you living in such a way that you really are experiencing peace when it maybe doesn't make sense? You really are experiencing hope when it doesn't really make sense. And if you're not experiencing peace, why not? Why not? It could be you're trying to do it on your own. It could be you're just not willing to admit how you feel about something. You know it's okay to tell God you're mad at him, right? You know, God, whatever you do, don't tell him you're mad at him because he can't take that. You know, I mean, he's God. He created the world. He can do anything. And he knows you're mad anyway. So tell him. Tell him, I feel like you're jerking me around here and I don't appreciate this. I feel like you're giving me something that feels mean. It doesn't feel loving. And maybe peace will come when you're honest with God or when you spend time with people. Maybe you'll experience more peace. There's nothing worse than trying to go through something hard on your own. And if you would have a relationship, join a small group, do something like that where you have those relationships, it can really help you with peace. So are you experiencing it? Why or why not? Last little idea is, do you know someone who needs peace this Christmas? Do you know someone in your family, your neighborhood, your workplace that needs peace? And maybe what can you do to help them? Maybe you can give them a little Christmas present and a card with something to think about. Maybe you can invite them to a Christmas Eve service. I don't know if you've ever had it, I make a really mean Chex Mix. And sometimes I give that away to people and just let them know I'm praying for them or something like that. So just whatever. Is there something specific you can do to help someone? And if you can't think of a name right away, I'd ask you to consider praying for a guy by the name of Josh. And Josh is fine. He's healthy. He's actually a pastor. He's a pastor of a church in Worcester called Pleasant Street Baptist Church that we partner with and we help. I've been coming alongside Josh to be an encouragement to him. I would just ask maybe that you would pray for peace and courage and strength for him as he leads in this area of the city that's really, really hard. So he, like, just for an example, last year he put on a big sort of Christmas Eve service and he had like 3 people show up. You know, and so they were all excited, and 2 of the 3 people didn't speak English. You know, I mean, it's like he's in this crazy world where he's giving out the peace of Christ, but it's just hard. It's just hard. And so be praying for him and his family and his kids and praying how maybe we can help them more. This year we're looking for churches that we can help strengthen in their ministry and grow and pass that peace on to others. His name's Josh again, and he's a good guy. And technically he's not one of our missionaries, but he kind of is. He's bringing the peace to a section of Worcester that's hard. So be thinking about him and then whoever else you can bring this peace to. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for how clear you are with where peace comes from. Thank you for sending us the Prince of Peace, your son Jesus. Jesus, thanks for being that peace for us, that willingness to sacrifice your life for us on the cross, to go through that pain. You didn't do anything wrong, and you went through that for us on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to. Thank you, Father, for conquering sin and death. Thank you for the hope and the reality of the resurrection that gives me and others, especially with family situations, such hope for the future. Thanks that, if my dad comes to see you before I do, I'll be behind him sometime, and he's sort of stuck with me because we're stuck to you, Jesus, and we're gonna be together. So thank you. Father, give us the ability to just be filled with a sense of joy and hope in the midst of heartache. I know it sounds weird. And again, we're not thankful for certain things. We're thankful in it. But through your Spirit, Father, you can lift our hearts. You can give us joy. And you can help us overflow that joy onto others. So please show us how to do that this year, this Christmas. And we'll praise you for what you do in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.